Brother Eric John Phelps, coming to you today on this August 26, 2024, here at 24/7 World Radio Podcast. It is now approximately 11:38 in the morning from the bustling metropolis of Newmanstown, Pennsylvania. So welcome to the broadcast, and I feel this is a very important broadcast because it clears up some eschatological concerns. And that is the doctrine of future things or things to come, namely prophecy and the fulfilling of prophecy. And I believe that nearly every camp of those teaching prophecy are in some sort of serious error with regard to Rome, the Antichrist, the 70th week of Daniel, the last half of the 70th week of Daniel, which is called the Great Tribulation. There is no such thing called the seven-year tribulation. That is nonsense. The tribulation, the great one of Matthew 24:15, as spoken of by Christ in Revelation chapter 7, is the last half of the seven-year period, or the 70th week of Daniel, which is yet future. And there have been other heresies, like the denial of the pre-week appearing of Christ for the church, because you see, the church is not Israel. The church has a different hope than the hope of Israel. And so I will seek to clarify some of those things also. But the one I wish to clarify most is the mystery Babylon of Revelation 17 is the city of Rome, and Babylon the Great of Revelation 18 is the literal city of rebuilt Babylon. The reason why I bring up this topic is because I received two books that I ordered from the Friends of Israel, and the title of those books are New Babylon Rising, The Emerging End Times World Order by Ron Rhodes, and Discovering Dispensationalism, Tracing the Development of Dispensational Thought from the First to the 21st Century, edited by Corey M. Marsh and James I. Fazio. New Babylon Rising was written in 2019, and Discovering Dispensationalism was written in 2023. Both of these books, although excellent in their entirety, miss a mark that has been a historical mark of biblical truth and the position of godly men of the past, that Rome is Mystery Babylon of Revelation 17. And these two books miss that mark. They do not specifically point out Rome as the city that sits on seven hills of Revelation 17, being the woman, the great whore, Mystery Babylon. And so this goes to another revelation, another truth, is that your typical premillennial dispensational church or teachings, which I do teach that, I believe all of that, it's literal. There's a difference between Israel and the church. We read the prophecies literally. Dispensationalism has been around since the first century. There's nothing new about it, even with John Nelson Darby. But about the time of John Nelson Darby, about the time, dispensationalism did not include Rome as being Mystery Babylon of Revelation 17, when before that, it did. Remember, Calvin was a dispensationalist. I can show you, he advocates dispensations in his Institutes of the Christian Religion. There's nothing new or unbiblical about dispensationalism. Dispensation is a biblical word, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. But the new dispensationalism that was propounded in the late 1800s and early 1900s and all throughout the 19th century omitted Rome as being the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth of Revelation 17. This type of new dispensationalism, I maintain, is Jesuitical dispensationalism, even though it rightly teaches the difference between the church and the nation of Israel, even though it rightly teaches that the body of Christ will be taken out of the earth before the beginning of the 70th week of Daniel, pursuant to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it's the apostasia, it's the departure. This horrible, terrible neglect, deliberate neglect, I maintain, is to not include Rome, not to keep your attention on Rome as the font of Satan's mystery of iniquity, and out of which will come the final Pope of Rome, he to be slain with a sword, Revelation 13, 14, and to rise from the dead, to be possessed by Satan, to then be the beast of Revelation 13, Revelation 17, Revelation 19. That will oppose the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as an aside here, the Lord Jesus Christ was very man. He had a body and soul and spirit as a man. He was the second Adam, 1 Corinthians 15. However, this man had two natures, which has always been the doctrine of the church from the first century. He had the very nature of Adam, the spirit of a man of Adam, and he also had the Son of God, the eternal Son of God in him. He had two natures. So this very man, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, was unified and one with the eternal Son of God that existed before Jesus of Nazareth ever came into existence. And that eternal Son indwelt that body. A body has out prepared me, oh my God, Hebrews chapter 10. And so the body being conceived by the Holy Ghost, the eternal Son indwelled it. And so Jesus of Nazareth was a tripartite man with another person inside of him, the eternal Son of God. And Satan, in seeking to reproduce or do exactly what the Lord did with Christ, Satan will have this final pope of Rome, this seventh Roman Caesar of Revelation 17. He will have him slain with a sword. And then this seventh Roman Caesar will rise from the dead. His spirit will come back into his body. He will come up out of the abyss, the spirit of the seventh Roman Caesar. So he's very man. He's three part, body, soul, and spirit. But then about this time when the seventh Roman Caesar is killed and rises from the dead, Satan and his angels are cast out of heaven in Revelation chapter 12 in the middle of the 70th week of Daniel, and they're confined to the earth. And Satan will then possess the body, the man, the revived man, the beast, the seventh Roman Caesar, the last Pope of Rome. He will indwell this body. And so the beast, the Antichrist, will have two natures, just like Christ had two natures. The nature of a man and the nature of the eternal Son of God with Christ. The nature of a man and the nature of Satan, the person of Satan, indwelling the final Pope of Rome risen from the dead. It's like the person of the Son of God indwelling the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan, and I don't believe anybody that I know of has ever taught this, so if this be heresy, it may be new with me, but for the most part, and absolutely, the beast, the man of sin, will have two natures, yet a very man with body, soul, and spirit after he's risen from the dead. Just like the Lord Jesus Christ had two natures. He was very body, soul, and spirit, but indwelt by the eternal Son of God. Hence, he had two natures. The beast, the Antichrist, will have two natures. That's why there's never anybody in Scripture more spoken of as far as prophecy is concerned, other than Jesus the Christ, than the beast, the Antichrist, the man of perdition. So, it's this mystery of iniquity that Satan is running, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Its end game being the final Pope of Rome, the seventh Roman Caesar, to be killed with a sword, Revelation 13, 14. And I would imagine the Jews are going to be blamed for it, of course, when the Jesuits are behind this, because the Jesuits are the real Babylonian religion that has made Romanism Babylonianism for the last 200 years. Without Jesuitism, there is no Romanism as we know it today. That's why the Pope is a Jesuit. That's why Pius XI resigned from being a Jesuit before he was made Pope back in the early 1900s. So, and that's according to James Atco in his book, Descent into Darkness. Pius XI had been a Jesuit before he resigned and became Pope. So, the end game of what I'm trying to teach you here is that Rome, the city of Rome is Mystery Babylon the Great of Revelation 17, and the rebuild Babylon, also called the New Babylon by Ron Rhodes, is to be rebuilt and going to be the center of world commerce, world power, and it will be the city of the reigning Antichrist beast man, and that is where his throne will be, in Babylon. Hence, he will build a temple there. According to Zechariah, there will be a temple built in the ancient Babylonian city, when this city is the capital of the world for religion, for commerce and for politics. And the third Hebrew temple will be the capital for worldwide religion of the beast, the Antichrist, who will place a statue, the false prophet, will place a statue of the beast, of the first beast, in the rebuilt Hebrew temple, so that all the world can worship this statue that talks and probably will be seen in worldwide TV. So that's where we're going. And so I have several quotations for you. First of all, some scripture, and then secondly, some quotations from the New Babylon Rising and the New Dispensationalism, or Discovering Dispensationalism. And then I'm going to take you to some of the older authors, like the great William R. Newell and Alexander Hislop and David Baron, the author of The Visions and Prophecies of Zechariah, which I maintain is probably the greatest commentary on the book of Zechariah I've ever seen and probably ever written. Otherwise, I'd have it. So I'm going to take you back to the old guys. And I'm going to take you back to the teachings of the old ministers, old preachers that taught you that Rome was Babylon, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I will read to you from a particular work on that, written in 1835 by Mr. Berg. So, as we begin, we shall go first of all to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation 13, we read, verses 1 and 2. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. This beast is an empire. This beast of verses 1 and 2 do not describe a man. This empire can be further seen in Daniel chapter 7, which we read. Daniel 7:7. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, called the beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. This is the Roman Empire. The previous empires were the Babylonian, the Medo-Persian, the Grecian, and now this is the Roman Empire. And so now we see in verse 8, and I maintain there is a gap of time of 2,000 years between verse 7 and 8, because now we're going to be looking at this beast in verse 8, when the prophet says, I considered the horns, and beheld there came up among them another little horn. This hasn't happened, because this little horn, as we shall see, will be the man beast, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. This is a man. This is the beast. This is the little horn. And you can even see this referenced in a particular movie called Constantine's Sword by Keanu Reeves. We're talking about the little horn. So, this is the future. There's a 2,000-year gap between verse 7 and verse 8 of Daniel 7. And this little horn, which is going to conquer three of the other horns, which are three other kings. The seven of the 10 kings will give them his power, and three of them he's just going to conquer. Again, the interpretation is given in Daniel 7, starting with verse 23. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth. So this is a kingdom. Revelation 13, 1 and 2 is describing a kingdom. It is the Roman kingdom, the Roman Empire. That is called a beast. Which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them. He shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. This is the little horn that subdues three kings. This is the beast, the man beast, who subdues three kings of his 10 kings. 25, he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. These are saints that are living, people that are living during the last half of the 70th week of Daniel, when the beast comes to power. He's going to overcome them. He's going to kill them. There's going to be a great host that are murdered by the beast, Revelation chapter 7. But they're not the church. This is not the church. The church is not in the Old Testament. Only Gentile salvation and the nation of Israel. He shall think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and dividing of the time. That's 2.5 years. We see this very same times and dividing of time in Daniel chapter 12. We read Daniel chapter 12, verse 7. And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time. One times, that's two, so that's 1 and 2 is 3, and a half, that's 3.5. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, those are the Jews of the nation of Israel, all these things shall be finished. So, this is the 3.5 year period, the last half of the 7 year week of the prophet Daniel, of Daniel 9:27. The last half of it is called the Great Tribulation. And it's during this time where the beast man shall rule all nations from his revived New Babylon city, seated on the Euphrates, which we see that happening right now in the rebuilding of the ancient city of Babylon, when the Ishtar gates have been put in place and they're being guarded by the coolies, the American military forces, working for the Pope since March 9th, 1933. Now back to Revelation 13. We've covered verses 1 and 2, which is a beast kingdom. It's the Roman Empire. It will be revived to be a Roman Empire with 10 specific kings under the headship of the beast. And so this is why the Roman Empire has been preserved by Satan under the guise of the Vatican Empire. The Vatican Empire is nothing but the Roman Empire under with religious garb. The Pope is the Caesar. I show in my PowerPoint. You need to get my PowerPoint. I think it's for $35. It's 733 slides. And I quote to you a source that where the Pope is saying, I am Caesar. I am Emperor. All the popes regard themselves as Roman Caesars. They also regard themselves as the King of Rome. So we see here, the first two verses have been dealt with. This is the Roman Empire. And then verse 3, now it's going to talk about the man beast. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And this head is the beast that has its mortal wound. Okay? I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, one of the seven heads. The seven heads we shall see are the seven kings, seven Roman Caesars of Revelation 17:9. And one of these heads, which is the final pope of Rome, because every pope has been a Caesar since Domitian, who was the sixth Roman Caesar of Revelation 17:10. And the pope has merely held the place for the final pope of Rome to come to power. And when my dear brethren Ed Canfield discovered a chart where it showed the tree of the popes and all these branches are different popes and they're leading up to a equilateral triangle with the IHS symbol of the Jesuits at the top, because Satan is using the Jesuits to keep the papacy in place and to ultimately bring the final pope of Rome to power. And so we see. And they worship the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. This is the man beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who shall be able to make war with him? There's nobody like the beast man. He's been killed. The beast man is really bulletproof. Donald Trump isn't bulletproof. That was all fake. A faked assassination attempt, even though they had to kill a couple other people. That's okay. So, there's nobody like the beast man. Because he's Satan-possessed. He will be indwelled by Satan. That's why they worship Satan and the beast, because Satan is inside of him. Satan is duplicating what Christ did. If you worship me, you worship the Father. I mean, Christ is speaking as a man, but he's saying he's receiving worship as the eternal Son of God. He's worshiped all throughout Matthew and the Gospels. You see, worship, worship, worship. Why? Because they're worshiping not the man Christ Jesus. They're worshiping Christ Jesus united to the eternal Son of God inside of him. The man Christ Jesus having two natures. And hence it's completely fitting to worship him because he is very God manifest in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16. So Satan, he's going to indwell the risen pope, the beast. And when they worship the beast, they're worshiping Satan. And this is exactly what Satan's wanted from the beginning. Worldwide, universal worship. Through a man of his choosing. That's why he said to Christ, fall down and worship me and all shall be thine. Why? Because when Christ worships Satan, he never did it, but if he would do so, then Satan would be ultimately worshipped through Jesus of Nazareth. That's what he wanted. And the man Christ Jesus could have worshipped Satan. Could have done it. It was a legitimate temptation. So, who can make war with him? No one. Verse 5, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. That's a time, times, and dividing of a time. This 3.5 years. This is called the Great Tribulation. In Revelation 7, we read, verse 9, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And so they're worshiping the Father here. And one of the elders answered. Elders are representatives of the church. The 24 elders are men who represent the church there. They're literal men. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So there is a great tribulation, a tribulation, the great one. This is the 3.5 years, where there's going to be universal mass murder of as many of the Lord's people that have Old Testament salvation as possible. Because the beast will have power to overcome the saints. And the beast is indwelt by Satan. And Satan will rule the whole world system as he's setting it up now. It will be perfected and completed. And the tripartite equilateral triangle that will be sitting as a capstone on the top of the pyramid, that's the final Pope of Rome, slain with a sword, risen from the dead, and indwelt with Satan. And when he sits down on the capstone of the pyramid, it will be universal satanic power for 3.5 years. Because remember, Satan is going to be cast out of heaven at the very time the beast is risen from the dead. Revelation chapter 12. We read verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. At this time, this is in the middle of the 70th week of Daniel, just about at this time, when Satan and his angels are cast out of heaven. For the first time since the fall of Lucifer, for over 6,000 years, Satan has had access to the throne of God whenever he wants. We read it in the book of Job, chapter 1 and 2, that Satan presents himself before the Lord with all the sons of God. This is the first time in the history since the fall of Lucifer, who became Satan, that Satan is banished, cast out of the third heaven, and he is confined to the earth. Who will then, Satan will then possess the risen Pope to be then the Antichrist. And for 3.5 years, the Satan-possessed Antichrist will rule the world with no rival. He's the risen Horus, who's invincible according to Egyptian lore. Verse 10 of Revelation 12. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God, our God, day and night. And they overcame him, overcame Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. He's talking about tribulation believers. He's not talking about the church. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens. He's talking, rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. He knows that he has 3.5 years left. He knows that he has 3.5 years before he's going to be cast into the abyss for 1,000 years by Christ in Revelation 20. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. Who's the woman? Israel. Satan's going to persecute Israel, who brought forth the man-child, the the Messiah, the Savior, the seed promised to Adam. See, this is why Satan hates the Jews. He hates them more than any other people, because it's through this race of people, this nation, that came the great enemy of Satan and the one who's going to give Satan his mortal head wound at the second coming. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Romans 16, verse 25. Satan hates the Jews because it's this race of people that brought forth that damnable, that evil Jesus of Nazareth that's going to defeat me. And I'm going to kill them all before he can rule over them. That's right. I will frustrate the Abrahamic covenant so that he will not have any people to rule over. So I'll do my best to kill them all. That's what Satan's going to be up to then. That's why he's going to break the power of the holy people. That's why there's going to be a special protection of them for the last 3.5 weeks that we read in Revelation here. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle. This is the great eagle of Exodus 19. Given to Israel, that she might fly into the wilderness unto her place, where she is nourished for a time. That's one. A times, that's two, which means 1 and 2 is 3. And a time. She can be nourished there for 3.5 years from the face of the serpent. And so Israel will be driven into the wilderness. She'll flee to the wilderness. This is exactly what Christ warned about in Matthew 24. Matthew 24 has nothing to do with the church and everything to do with Israel. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman. Well, I believe those are armies. Armies are oftentimes called a flood. The woman is not a literal woman. It's a woman symbolizing Israel. The flood is not a literal flood. It's a flood symbolizing armies. To cause her to be carried away by the flood. And the earth helped the woman. And the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And it couldn't be the earth is going to open up and swallow up these armies that are ready to destroy the Jews when they flee to Petra. According to Isaiah 19, that's the place in the wilderness they must flee to. The dragon was wroth with the woman and made war with a remnant of her seed. It's a race of people which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And those that keep the commandments of God here are the 144,000. So the devil's getting ready to kill all the 144,000 young men who have not been defiled with women and have the seal of God on their foreheads. He's going after to kill them, because God has sealed them to evangelize the world. And about that time, Satan's going to go after them and kill them. So my point being is that the final Pope of Rome of Revelation, Revelation 17 has to do with Rome. Let's read that a little bit more so that's clear to you. Revelation 17, we read. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy. Remember, the woman is not this beast. The beast is the empire. The woman is the city. A woman sits on this beast, arrayed in purple and scarlet. Are not the archbishops and bishops arrayed in purple and the cardinals arrayed in scarlet of the papacy? And decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of the abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon. Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And so this woman's drunken with the blood of the saints, with the martyrs of Jesus. She's killing the 144,000. I'll tell you the mystery of the woman and the beast that carries her. Now, verse 8, the beast that thou sawest was and is not. This is the man who was. He existed as the final Pope of Rome. And is not. He was slain with a sword, Revelation 13:14. And yet he comes back to life. He is and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. The spirit of the man beast shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, because that's where unsaved people go. into the bottomless pit, into the abyss. Hades is there. And goes into perdition, goes into destruction. He's going to go to destruction at the second coming of Christ when Christ takes him and casts him personally in the lake of fire. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world when they beheld the beast, this man that was, he existed as the final pope of Rome. He concludes this, the covenant that protects Israel for 7 years, Daniel 9:27. He was and is not. He was killed with a sword, Revelation 13:14, and yet is. He came back to life. He has recovered from his wound with the sword, and he's possessed by Satan that's been cast out of heaven. About this time, they're going to wonder. Verse 9, here's the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains. The underlying Greek word for that is oros. And mount, it can be translated mountain, and it can also be translated hill, as it is done in Luke chapter 9. In one verse, it is translated as a mountain, with the mountain of transfiguration. And this is when they came down off the hill. Same word, oros. So to be clear, the seven heads are seven hills on which the woman sits. And now it becomes crystal clear. It's Rome. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen, as I've taught in the past. The five that fell, they were Roman Caesars. They persecuted the Jews. They attributed deity to themselves. That's Caligula, Claudius, Nero, Vespasian, Titus. Five are fallen. One is. The one existing at the time of Revelation. The Revelation was written in 95, 96. Was Domitian. He persecuted the Jews. He attributed deity to himself. So there's coming a seventh Roman Caesar that's going to do that. He's going to persecute the Jews, and he is going to attribute deity to himself, which we know the beast is going to do. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. The seventh Roman Caesar, this final pope, will continue for a short space. He makes the covenant with Israel, protects Jerusalem from all the nations. It's going to be an international peace treaty. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. He's going to go into the lake of fire at the hand of Christ in Revelation 19. But when he's possessed of Satan, this man now is really different. He's really another king because he's possessed of the devil, yet he's in the same body, yet he's the seventh king. I know the Bible says he's of the seven. Well, all the other, the six are all gone back to the dust. But this seventh king, he's going to be possessed of Satan. Now he'll be the eighth king, yet he's the seventh. He has the body of the seventh pope of Rome, but he's risen from the dead and dwelt by Satan to be the eighth king. And he goes on and says, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. Verse 12. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings. Those are basileus, not kingdoms. They're kings. They're literal kings. Which have received no kingdom as of yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour or for a period of time with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. So these are the ten kings that will give their power, their political and military power, to the beast man. And three of these kings the beast had to personally conquer. The other seven they willingly give their power to him, according to Daniel. And verse 14, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked and shall eat her flesh with and burn her with fire. For God shall put in their hearts, for God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and to give the kingdom, their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. So these ten kings are going to destroy the woman, not the Lord. So this woman, this mystery Babylon of Revelation 17, is a city, and it is Rome. How do we know? It's on seven hills of verse 9, and it's a city of verse 18. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Rome today rules over the kings of the earth. I prove it in my book, Vatican Assassins. Any cursory study of the papacy and the Jesuits who run it know every country in this world today is run by the Jesuit papacy. That includes Putin, that includes Biden, that includes everybody else. Because the scripture is taken in this prophecy most literally. The woman's a city. It's the great city. It's not the great city Jerusalem. It's the great city. It sits on seven hills. Jerusalem sits on five. Gotcha, Tex Mars. So, Mystery Babylon the Great. Mystery Babylon the Great is Rome. And when Rome falls to the to 10 kings who destroy it, right before they do this, they're going to move the religion of Rome to Babylon, the rebuilt city of Babylon. We read from the prophecy of Zechariah, chapter 5. We read from verses 5 through 11. Then the angel that talked with me went forth and said unto me, Lift up now thine eyes, and see what is this that goeth forth. And I said, What is it? And he saith, This is an ephah that goeth forth. He said, Moreover, this is their resemblance through all the earth. And behold, there was lifted up a talent of lead. And this is a woman that sitteth in the midst of the ephah. And he said, This is wickedness. And he cast it into the midst of the ephah. And he cast the weight of lead upon the mouth thereof. Then lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came out two women, and the wind was in their wings. For they had wings like the wings of a stork, and they lifted up their ephah between the earth and the heaven. And then said I to the angel that talked with me, Whither do these bear the ephah? Where are they taking this? And he said unto me, To build it an house in the land of Shinar, which is Babylon, and it shall be established and set there upon her own base. This is the prophecy of the woman, namely the religion of Rome, which is the woman, the city, and this is going to be taken. It's going to be removed, I believe, out of Rome to Babylon, to the land of Shinar, and hence the purified, untainted, strictly wicked religion of Babylon is completely revived and immediately put in place in the revived city of Babylon, of which the beast will build a temple there for the worship of his god, Satan. And the religion will be in place because Romanism has been completely Jesuitized, and Jesuitized Romanism is nothing more than ancient Babylonian religion at its finest. Moved from Rome to Babylon for the beast. That's why Melchor Cano, a very brilliant Dominican priest, is called the Jesuits the forerunners of Antichrist. Absolutely right. So this is what's going to happen. So now we have shown that Revelation 17 is the city of Rome. It's the woman. It is Mystery Babylon the Great. Not Babylon the Great. It's Mystery Babylon the Great. That's Revelation 17. And it's destroyed by fire, and the 10 kings destroy it in the middle of the 70th week of Daniel. Mystery Babylon the Great is not destroyed at the end of the Great Tribulation, the end of the 70th week, which will be the end of the Great Tribulation. So, Mystery Babylon the Great is Rome, and then we have Babylon the Great of Revelation 18, which is actually the rebuilt city of Babylon, also called New Babylon by the author of that work that I just mentioned to you concerning the revived Babylon. Revelation 18. The title of the book being New Babylon Rising, the Emerging End Times World Order. Okay? And he's right, it's going to be a new Babylon. Rebuild Babylon. Why do you think they give all of our gas money to Saudi Arabia and Qatar and all those Muslim countries? Because they're the foundation, they're that financial foundation for the new Babylon once the beast destroys Islam in the middle of the week of Daniel. Now, Revelation 17, verse 1. After these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he crieth mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. This Babylon the Great is not Mystery Babylon the Great, because Mystery Babylon the Great is destroyed by fire, and there's no way for it to become the habitation of every foul spirit and every cage of every unclean, hateful bird. This is going to be the Babylon, the rebuilt Babylon, which will be the habitation of devils, that will be destroyed by the Lord himself just before his second coming. It has a different destruction. It's not destroyed by fire of the ten kings. He goes on. I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that she be not partakers of her sins, that she be received not of her place. Who's he talking about, my people? They're the Jews. They're the racial Hebrew Jewish Israelites that will be doing business in Babylon. And so he tells them, get out of there, lest you want to be destroyed with the city. Just like the angel told Lot, get out of Sodom here, lest you be destroyed with Sodom. And we go on to see in verse 8, Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. The Lord's going to burn her with fire and bring those plagues of death and famine. It talks about all the kings of the earth going to weep when they see the destruction of Babylon. This is right before the second coming. My God, Babylon's been destroyed. It's a world capital of commerce. We made rich from it. We traded in everything. It goes on. And saying, Alas, alas, that great city, verse 16, that was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet. It's the same colors of the Roman papacy. It's the same colors of the religion of Mystery Babylon the Great. That religion having been transferred to Babylon the Great after just prior to the destruction of Mystery Babylon the Great, that whole religion is going to be taken to Babylon. That whole Jesuitized, evil, wicked Babylonian religion of Rome will be taken to Babylon. Verse 18, and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? Rejoice over her, thou heavens, verse 20, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. In other words, this mystery Babylon religion of the new Babylon, the Lord is going to destroy this Babylonian city, Babylon the Great. The Lord's doing it, not the ten kings. And in verse 21, And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone, cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. And it goes on in verse 23, For by thy sorceries, pharmakia, drugs, and demons, were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of the prophets, of the saints, and of all that were slain upon the earth. And that's during the 70th week of Daniel. The two prophets that are slain are Elijah and Moses of Revelation 11. In her is found their blood. There's found the blood of the 144,000 Jews of Revelation 7. We see them dead in heaven in Revelation 14. So, this is the judgment of Babylon the Great, which is also a great whore. And the smoke rises up forever and ever, because the smoke of Babylon will be rising up during the millennial kingdom of Christ. People and sinners born in the millennial kingdom need a reminder of what was done to Babylon by the king sitting in Jerusalem at the time, who's very God manifest in the flesh. That's a reminder for them to take a little tour of what he did to all the wicked nations of the world when they set themselves together against the Lord and his Christ and against the nation of Israel when they want to destroy it, and Satan leading them. Babylon as a smoke going up will continue for the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. And so, that's from chapter 19, verse 3. And verse 6 of 19. And I heard as it were a voice of great multitude, as a voice of many waters, as a voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Yeah, he's going to reign now. He's coming back with the second coming. As soon as you have the destruction of the Babylon the Great, then the Lord Jesus Christ returns on a white stallion. And the marriage of the Lamb is come after his second coming. The wife hath made herself ready. And I maintain the wife that hath made herself ready in this context is a nation of Israel because she's repented of Zechariah 12, verse 10. And the bridegroom's coming back, amen. Christ referred to himself as a bridegroom and the nation of Israel as the bride when he was here his first time. Yeah. So the marriage supper of the Lamb takes place and we have the second coming with the rest of Revelation 19. So my point being is that Revelation 17 is mystery Babylon the Great, which is the city of Rome. And its religion is going to be transferred to Babylon the Great, the city in Babylon. And that's Revelation 18. So Revelation 18 has to do with the city of Babylon. Revelation 17 is the mystery Babylon the Great, which is the city of Rome. Now I want to read to you some of the writers of the past to show you this is not new with me. In William R. Newell's great book titled The Book of the Revelation by William R. Newell, Moody Press, Chicago, 1935. This is before the foundation of the founding of Israel, by the way. He writes on page 289, "We must remember that the beast and his 10 kings of chapter 17 made desolate the woman that sat on the seven mountains, Romanism." Revelation 17, 9, and 16. But the overthrow of chapter 18 is directly from God, quote unquote, in one day, quote unquote, in one hour, Revelation 18, 8, 10, 17, 19. This overthrow is lamented by the kings of the earth. He goes on to say, Russia teaches us lessons here. Now, he was at the time of the Bolshevik Revolution and the building of Russia. Under communism, he didn't know it was Jesuit communism. For although she has burned churches and martyred priests and preachers, that's what the Jesuits did with their Bolsheviks, she desperately seeking to build up commerce to industrialize the whole nation in 5 years, that was Stalin's 5-year plan, to create markets by any means whatever. And by the way, aided by FDR. The Jesuits ran FDR, the Jesuits ran Stalin. Russia, to create markets by any means, whatever, Russia would be self-sufficient, but for this curse of commerce that is filling the earth. Russia could close her harbors and have abundance to supply all her real needs if her rulers were content to live in humble quiet. Well, they're not, Brother Newell, because the Jesuits run Russia. They run the Bolsheviks. They even ran Nicholas II before the Bolshevik Revolution when they faked his death. It's like another faked assassination attempt of Trump. Same deal. The Jesuits are masters at this. They've been doing it for years. You don't believe me? Get the book, The File on the Tsar. The File on the Tsar tells you that Tsar Nicholas II was never killed. He was secreted out of Russia. And who would do this? Why, it would be the Jesuits with certain men like Bishop Ropp, R-O-P-P. Newell didn't know the Jesuits ran Russia. Arnold Gabelline wrote a great work called The Conflict of the Ages, and he gets into Russia and all the terrible things that were done there. But Brother Gabelline, that born-again Jew, didn't know the Jesuits ran Russia. As many of your dispensationalists don't know because they've taken their eyes off the Jesuits. And because in taking off their eyes off the Jesuits, dispensationalism of today is not the old dispensationalism of the pre-1800s. The dispensationalism before them was focused on the Pope of Rome as being the Antichrist. When I maintain the papacy is the dynasty of the Antichrist, every pope's an Antichrist. Now there are indeed many Antichrists, 1 John 4, and the final Pope of Rome will be the Antichrist because the spirit of the Antichrist is in the world today, namely Satan. So we read here. As far as she is able, Russia is able. She has destroyed religion, has destroyed religion. The Jesuits controlling the Bolsheviks killed over 5,000 priests and nuns. They took their Orthodox church and made stables out of them. As far as she is able, she has destroyed religion, as the Antichrist will do in Revelation 17. But she desires luxury, and thus she is joined to Babylon in spirit. Newell continues, if you desire to know the last and final form of iniquity, behold the two women of Zechariah 5, bearing an ephah, covered with a talon of lead. The woman, called wickedness, sits in the ephah. Whether do these bear the ephah, quote-unquote, asked the prophet. And the angel answers, to build her a house in the land of Shinar, and when it is prepared, she shall set there on her own place, unquote. Now Babylon is in the land of Shinar, Genesis 10:10. Notice in Revelation 18:3, verse 11, verse 15, verse 23, the merchants of the earth, also merchandise, in the Greek cargo, showing these things will be carried by ships, as in verse 17. Rome has no market, and the Tiber has no harbor to speak of. Naming the articles of the cargo begins with verse 12, and he names all of them there, as we've seen. And we see here, one, over 3 years before the Babylon described in Revelation 18, the beast and his 10 kings have destroyed the harlot, the city on seven hills. That's right, that's in midweek. For over 3 years more, the beast and the man of sin, and I maintain the beast is a man of sin, who denies all that is called God and his worship, will have full power on earth. That's for the last three and a half years, because this is at the end of the 3.5 years with the destruction of Babylon the Great, just right before the coming of Christ, maybe a day or two before. Three, Rome's motto is Semper Eden, always the same. She cannot deny the Father and the Son as Antichrist does and exists. So, Babylon the Great is not Rome. Mystery Babylon the Great is Rome, but not Babylon the Great of Revelation 18. Therefore, it appears necessary to believe that the Babylon of chapter 18 is not Rome, but the great commercial center, Satan's world capital, which has always been Babylon on the Euphrates. He concludes, we have noticed this, but it needs to be reemphasized. Mystery Babylon was destroyed by man's hand, by the beast and his 10 kings. This is page 291. Literal Babylon, that's the new Babylon, that's the literal city of Babylon, with its minstrels, flute players, trumpeters, craftsmen, marrying and giving marriage, verses 22-23, will be overthrown in an instant, swallowed up into the bowels of the earth, and with a burning like Sodom and Gomorrah. The earthquake under the seventh seal, Revelation 16:19, was seen destroying Babylon the Great, Isaiah 13:18-19. And then the next verse, Isaiah 13:20, has never been fulfilled. For there are inhabitants there in old Babylon. But when this is fulfilled, there'll never be an inhabitant there. And the smoke of her burning will go up forever and ever during the millennial kingdom. The Arabians do pitch their tents, and the shepherds make their flocks to lie down there. But when God destroys it, finally, there will be no such thing. Everybody with me? So, Revelation 17 is Rome. Mystery Babylon the Great of Revelation 17 is Rome. Babylon the Great of Revelation 18 is the city yet to be built as the world capital of commerce and politics for the man-beast, the Satan-possessed man-beast for 3.5 years. The great David Baron, the Hebrew Bible-believing Christian, in his commentaries on Zechariah, titled The Visions and Prophecies of Zechariah by Kriegel, he states on page 165, the winged woman therefore bear off the evil one to the land of Shinar, that's Babylon, there to build for her a home and a house. A house is a temple. We read on page 167, quote, Without any spirit of dogmatism, without entering in this place of question by the identity and significance of the Babylon and the Revelation, whether mystical or actual, we would express our conviction that there are scriptures which cannot, according to our judgment, be satisfactorily explained except on the supposition of a revival and yet future judgment of literal Babylon, which happens in Jeremiah 50 and 51, which for a time will be the center and embodiment of all the elements of our godless Western civilization, quote-unquote, and which especially will become the chief center, entrepot, of commerce in the world, in which will be gathered merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones, etc., until it shall finally be forever overturned by one terrible act of judgment from God. To this conviction we are led chiefly by the fact that there are prophecies in the Old Testament concerning the literal Babylon, which have never in the past been exhaustively fulfilled, and that Scripture usually connects the final overthrow of Babylon with the yet future restoration and blessing of Israel. And that's exactly what happened. This book was written before Israel was established. I believe it was written in like 1918. He's a contemporary of Larkin. Israel is reestablished, then Babylon city is reestablished. All happening in our generation here in 2024. So he concludes this in his great work. He says on page 168, it would be Israel's great channel of communication with the Indian seas, not to speak of the commerce which would flow towards the Tigris and Euphrates from the central and northern districts of Asia. It would be strange, therefore, if no city should arise on its banks, of which it might be said that her merchants were the great men of the earth. That's exactly right. That's why the Lord says to the Jews in Babylon, come out from among my people. Why? Because they're engaging in a huge commerce in rebuilt Babylon city, the center of world commerce in the future. The Lord tells him to get out of there right before he destroys the place. So that is David Barron's work, and you need to get this book. There's wonderful things here. This final work I wish to quote to you was written in 1842, called The Great Apostasy, Identical with Papal Rome, or An Exposition of the Mystery of Iniquity and the Marks and Doom of Antichrist, by Joseph F. Berg, Philadelphia, J.P. Livercott & Company, 1842. We read pages 139 to 141. This is Revelation 17. This is the papacy, which is mystery Babylon the Great, and she shed the blood of the saints. And now you listen to what Brother Berg has to say. Ah, the blood of 68 millions of the human race, which has flowed from the veins of the saints and martyrs of Jesus, and which cries to God for vengeance against the Babylonish harlot, leaves us no room to hesitate respecting the application of Daniel's prediction. The Church of Rome has literally worn out the saints of the Most High. Witness the heartless cruelties practiced upon the simple and pious Waldenses. See the torrents of blood which have been poured out like streams of river among the martyred Kuldes and Abagenses and Bohemian brethren. Look into the horrid dens of the Inquisition, before whose ghostly tribunal the young man and the blooming maiden, the aged father and the fond mother, were dragged under the pretext of the suspicion of heresy, but in reality to glut the avarice or lust or malice of the diabolical inquisitors. The saints of the Most High were worn out by the tortures of the rack and the fire. Satan ruled supreme in this infernal office. Its interior was in strict accordance with the deeds of darkness and of blood, which were daily enacted within its gloomy walls. This is for 600 years, folks. 600 years. It seemed as though the seat of Satan had been removed to the earth, and as if he had established a hell in miniature among men. There, by the flash of the gleaming torch, you see the servants of the Holy Inquisition, their countenances stern with cruelty, frowning with the scowl of malice upon the victims of ghostly tyranny. In vain does the affrighted prisoner shriek with terror and call for help when he views the instruments of death. The torturing dungeons are so deep, often three stories underground, cut out of solid rock. The many doors are so close that no groan, however loud, no wail of men in their death agony, no shriek, however piercing, can reach the upper air. There, in hopeless, helpless misery, the unhappy victims of Antichrist submit to the horrid cruelties with which he wears out the saints of the Most High. One mode of torture I will mention. Quote, when the Spanish Inquisition was thrown open by the troops of Napoleon and King Joseph, an image of the Virgin was found standing in a dark corner of a cell. On closer inspection, it was discovered by the French officer to be an engine of torture. Underneath the robes with which the image was covered was a metal breastplate, stuck full of needles, spikes, and lancets. The familiar was, or that's what they're called, familiars of the Inquisition. The familiar was ordered to maneuver it. He did so. It raised its arms as if to embrace. A knapsack was thrown into them. Gradually the arms closed, pressing the object within them closer and closer to the breast of the image, crushing and piercing it with 100 wounds, unquote. This is one of the implements of death with which papal Rome in the 19th century, that's in the 1800s, stood prepared to wear out the saints of the Most High. Oh, who can number the tears and count the sighs that have been wrung from the weeping, tortured prisoners of that accursed office? The record has been kept in heaven. It is there now. So sure as God is on his throne, the doom of the oppressors of Jehovah's people are sealed. God will avenge his martyred, broken-hearted children. But says the prophet further, he shall think to change times and laws. Has not the Church of Rome changed times? So we conclude, this is the evil wickedness of the Roman papacy. This is Revelation 17. This is Mystery Babylon the Great. Mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, that woman is the city of Rome. In Revelation 18, that woman also is the city of Babylon. Dispensationalism has erased this difference. And that's why there is such a thing as Jesuit premillennial dispensationalism. And that dispensationalism takes your attention off the Roman papacy and puts it on something else other than the Pope, who is holding the place for the final Pope of Rome to be slain and rise from the dead. And this is why it's a legitimate complaint and objection by many Bible believers that the dispensation of today is a Jesuit dispensationalism. And in this sense, where this dispensationalism of Charles Ryrie and John F. Walvoord and J. Dwight Pentecost and all these guys, they completely rule out Rome as the city of Revelation 17. They take their attention away from off Rome, which should never be done, which the reformers never did. They always hammered Rome. Would to God there would be some true premillennial dispensational Calvinistic preachers and teachers that would arise that will continue to finger the Pope of Rome as holding the place for the final Pope of Rome, the Antichrist, and preach against Romanism, the papacy, the Jesuits, because the Jesuits run America. They've run it since March 9th, 1933, and I'm ready for a change that we can maybe govern our own selves or have our own little place of a nation here in North America where there'll be no Pope, no priest, no Jesuits, no secret societies allowed, and we're going to trust God for deliverance as those beloved brethren in Geneva trusted God for deliverance when they separated from Rome, and it became the first free republic in Europe. It happened once. It can happen again. Brother H. John Phelps, thank you for tuning in today. I have a book, Vatican Assassins, Wounded in the House of My Friends. Go to my website, vaticanassassins.org. Pick up a CD, a copy of my book. Also go to 24/7 World Radio. You can order my broadcast of the past there, among other things. If you wish to donate, please send a gift to rbpbdonate@comcast.net. That's rbpbdonate@comcast.net for PayPal. Or you can send it by Cash App. The name there is Eric, E-R-I-C, John, J-O-N, Phelps, P-H-E-L-P-S. Eric, E-R-I-C, John, J-O-N, Phelps, P-H-E-L-P-S for Cash App. Or you can send a check to RBT, P.O. Box 306, Newmanstown, Pennsylvania, 17073. May the Lord bless you as you serve Him and do His will according to His Word. The AV 1611 Reformation English Bible appreciates your prayers. 2 minutes a day, lifting up holy hands without wrath, without doubting. You're not mad at God. You're not doubting His promises. For me, please pray for me. I need your prayers. So until next time we meet, the Lord be with you. Maranatha.